today on CodePen Radio.
Hey everybody, it's time for another episode of CodePen Radio. This is episode number 135, and we're continuing our mini-series where we talk to members of the CodePen community who do cool things, about those cool things that they do, and how CodePen helps them do them. I'm Marie Mosley, I'm the support lead here at CodePen, and I have with me today one of our engineers, Tim Holman.
Hey!
Hey! And our guest is Sarah Drasner. Hey, Sarah. Hey, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
So if you are a CodePen member, you are probably familiar with Sarah's work. And even if you're not familiar with her from CodePen, you've probably seen her elsewhere. She is a CSS Tricks staff writer. That's how we know each other. And she's also the author of SVG Animations, From Common UX Implementations to Complex Responsive Animation, which is fantastic. You should check that out.
It's a mouthful, that one.
Yes, I practiced that one. She is also the co-founder of the Web Animation Workshops, which are amazing. And a lot of people have cited that as a huge inspiration for them. And of course, she is a tremendous contributor to the CodePen community. So thanks again for coming on, Sarah.
Oh, yeah. It's my pleasure.
Look at that. That's resume right there.
I know, that's right? Awesome. Like, the bullet points alone are just like, how did you know?
You guys actually represent me better than I represent myself. So.
Oh, and the one bullet point I forgot. You are also the owner of the cutest puppy I've ever seen in my life. What is your puppy's name?
Her name's Pseudo, so that,
that
we can
the
say
best.
Pseudo Sit. Although it doesn't really work yet. I think I don't have root access or something.
Oh, you know what? I think it takes a while with puppies, right?
Yeah, she's the best, though. She looks like a teddy bear.
She does? Oh, man. Every time I see you tweet a picture of her, I'm just like, oh, my goodness. So, Sarah, tell us a little bit about, you know, Web Animation Workshop. What is that all about?
Oh, yeah. I just got back from that yesterday. It's with Val Head. Val is super cool, and it's really, really great to run workshops with somebody that I trust and think is brilliant and stuff. So basically what we do is we do these 1 to 2 day events. Most are 2 day. And we run the gamut of material. So we start off with some theory, some ways to get buy-in and do prototyping and, you know, classic principles you can steal from Disney and stuff. And then we move into things like how to animate in CSS, how to animate in JavaScript, what libraries are available to you. We go into some GreenSock and some of the unique offerings there. We talk about how to optimize and export SVGs, and then how to animate SVGs. And then we talk about Mo.js. And then sometimes, if we have time, we talk about data visualization and how to animate in D3. Although we don't always have time for that. Oh, we also have a giant section on React and different ways to animate in React. And so we go through about like 5 or 6 different ways of animating in React. One is React Motion. One is how to get GreenSock to play nicely with React Transition Group Plus, which I gave the React Europe talk about. And
Transition Group Plus, you said?
Yeah. You're probably familiar with React CSS Transition Group or React Transition Group. Basically, this person, it's a pretty common thing that when you're making a component enter and leave, something else is entering and leaving at the same time. So what you end up having to do is write these like callbacks between those two things, which gets a little bit spaghetti and hairy after a while. So Vue has this transition component that has a thing called in-out modes, which allows you to wait. It allows you to tell the component to wait until the other one's done exiting before entering. So you don't have to write complex code for that. It's just a directive.
Oh, I like that.
And yeah, it's really cool. And React, the nice thing about React and Vue right now is that they're borrowing from each other a lot. Like a lot of Vue is based off of React. And so React, this like React Transition Group kind of stole that idea and imported it back to React Transition Group Plus, which is by Cheapstake on GitHub. And it's actually a really, really stable and awesome thing to work with. I like working with it better than React Transition Group. So that's really cool, and you should definitely check it out.
Awesome. Nice.
Well, I feel like everybody just got their money's worth listening to that.
So one of the things that I've noticed across all of your work is that you have a huge generosity in how you describe and explain how everything works. And that's one of the best things about it. It's like, not only are they super cool demonstrations, but you are extremely clear about how everything is working. The Green Sock Teaching Monster is one of my favorites because of that. You know, it's just a really, really fun way to introduce yourself to the concept. Was that for something particular, or was that just a demo that you made?
I guess I was a dark web developer for 10 years before I even did any conference talks or blogs or anything. And during that time, and still, I consumed a lot of material from Stack Overflow, from even CSS Tricks and, you know, David Walsh blog and stuff like that. And learned a lot by the community, like from other people, and didn't give back a lot in that time. I just put things into production sites. There's nothing wrong with that, but I started to feel a little like, man, I want to return the favor. putting out these materials and resources is really nice, because I start to feel like I'm starting to even the score a little bit. I have a huge debt to the community to pay back, of course, but something that I noticed that was really tough for people, was the difference between TweenMax and a timeline, and how I structure my functions for timelines in a master timeline, so that I can scope things and not have them bleed into global scope. And so people were asking me a lot about that on Twitter, and I felt like it's pretty hard to do within 140 characters. And even when I was writing about it, it seemed like it's easiest if I could live code from that for them, but I'm not able to live code in front of that many people at a time. It doesn't scale that well, and I'm terrible at it.
Live coding, it's an art, that's for sure. I'm petrified.
Talking and typing at the same time, oh my God. So I figured I can animate, though. So I just have this monster kind of animate, like he was live coding for everybody and show people how it worked.
It's super cool. And of course, it's an extremely cute monster. And that's one of the things I really enjoy about the stuff that you do. It's incredibly informative, but also really fun. You know, you look through the code on something and you learn a lot, but then there's also a playable game, Elephant Taco Hunt. That's fully a game. And that was really fun. I still see to this day. And how old is that pen now? It's got to at least be about a year, right?
Yeah, it's about a year. I think I'm still using React.create class and stuff.
Right. So every day I still see people tweeting their high score on that game. So it's still in circulation and people are still really digging it.
Yeah, that one was really fun to make, because I'd been planning to make a game for forever. I even had a group of five friends who would come over and we were going to make a game together. But it was always after work. So we would talk about making the game for a half an hour and then eat pizza and drink beer for 2 hours. So it just never ended up happening. So that was kind of a bucket list item for me, too. Also, React is so good at managing state that making a game out of it made a lot of sense to me. Because you can do so many of the things that would be really difficult to do with other types of web technologies.
Such a joy. Yeah, even the React CSS transition groups, when I came across those, it just brings you a lot of joy when it's hey, wait a second, this isn't painful anymore.
Yeah, it's definitely true. I think that's also why I've been enjoying Vue so much, because there's so many really beautiful built-ins for animation that make it just super, super easy and slick to do complex things and stuff.
So one of the things you mentioned was that in the past you were a dark web developer. And I remember that from CSS Tricks as being a developer that just works, inside your company, or, just quietly freelances on your own and doesn't really give back to the community. I actually spent many years as that before I started to put myself out there. And I think a lot, there's I mean, I remember when that post went out on CSS Tricks, we discovered there's a vast world of...
It was like the most controversial post we've ever posted.
Oh man, boy, was it ever.
It was like all these people came out of the woodworks like, hey!
Well, you realize why some of them remain in the dark, I think was one takeaway from that. But it also, I think, was able to shine a light on the fact that many of us kind of toil in obscurity for quite some time. And it's really exciting when people make the decision to start sharing, like you have, you know, to start making demos, to start writing posts, to share the information that they've learned. That's for us at CodePen, that's one of the most exciting things, is seeing people really start to share with each other and demonstrate things to clarify this, you know, frankly, confusing world that we work in.
Yeah, I think actually that's why I'm such a huge like fangirl of CodePen and like always have been from the second that it started up, was because, you know, I think developers are a little bit introverted like sometimes. And at least for me, the ability to make tiny things that I could easily show people the code for, or like write to them in comments or write in the details view without having to set up all the infrastructure and stuff and have it be like a social environment that like... you could be kind of creative and like, you know, and I kind of had these jobs that were like managing giant component systems for giant companies. And they were like really, you know, interesting work, but it was like, you can't write crazy hacks or be kind of insane or whatever. And so it kind of lets off some steam to be able to either take a small bit of that and be like, this is really the important part of that and everyone can learn from this and you don't have to redo all of the work that I had to do to figure this out. Or to be like, I made a submarine out of letters that I hacked. You know, like that, I think that's like what got me hooked.
And I think a nice thing also is that, you know, at least I see it as part of CodePen when we have somebody like you who is very influential and very generous with information and demonstrations and stuff, you sort of have a cohort of people behind you who learn from you and develop skills based on what you share. And it's really exciting for me to see the influence that people have on each other and how that grows through the community. Tim, you and I talk about this all the time, the cohorts moving through CodePen, like class of 2015, class of 2016.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we've got, yeah, like the veterans. It's interesting to see as well how, and Sarah's a really good example of this, of how the things that you make change over time. It's crazy to see. It's like, I think, especially Sarah, you can kind of go into the early stuff and be like, oh, here's some, like, you just start kind of doing animations and things like that. And I don't know, I'd be interested to get your take on it, whether you're like, oh, you know, I have a very solid grasp of these things, I'm going to go looking to do more and different stuff. Like, you have so much React stuff and now all the Vue, which is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, for sure, when I first started doing stuff, it was me like, can I do this? Like, how do I do this? And like, literally my first trials with SVG and SVG animation exist on CodePen. Like, they're a few years ago, like maybe 3 or 4 years ago or something like that. So like every once in a while, like one of my, you know, like workshop students will be like, oh, and then I found this pen of yours. I was going off of it. I'm like, oh my God, don't go off of that pen. That is like me literally trying to figure out how this thing works. So maybe use like a more current one. So I think like the history of my learning is definitely, and in terms of SVG animation, is documented there, not for like other types of development. Those were all kind of proprietary, but I definitely feel like, you know, there's stuff that I really learned from the community. And I think I mentioned to Chris like a little while ago that I felt like the quality of what I've seen on CodePen, because I think Tim, you and I were both, early adopters to CodePen. Like, it started and we both like got on it pretty immediately.
Absolutely.
I don't know, Marie, was that true of you too?
I'm in the first 1,000, so yeah, I'm I'm early in, yeah.
Early adopters. Like, I feel like the quality of the work that I see on the homepage in the time that I've seen CodePen, which is like a few years now, has gone up so much. It's just people standing on each other's shoulders. So, like, that part is so exciting to me. It's like, we are literally all getting better because of each other. Like going and looking at each other's pens. I have, like, a private collection called To Reverse Engineer, where I just like fork other people's pens that I'm like, holy wow, how did they do that? What is that? That's like wizardry. So like I go in there and like break their pen, you know, in private and try to see how it works. I think stuff like that is like super valuable to people because I learn by example probably better than any other way. So yeah,
that's a great little tidbit. Yeah, I do the same kind of thing, like just start messing with things, trying to figure out what on earth is, how does it run, especially when you get into the WebGL stuff or any shader.
I think Rachel Smith's series on WebGL is like, has been like of the utmost help to me. I asked her to make that.
I feel bad. Oh, did you really? Oh.
I mean, I think she was probably already thinking about doing it, but I was like, please help me.
Those were her, what's it called? LERP? I think animation, or is that a different thing?
She had like a Hack Physics with JavaScript series of posts, which are really awesome. But the ones that I really enjoyed were, I mean, not, I liked both of them. Obviously, she's an amazing explainer of things, were the ones about WebGL. And she had like, because basically like my experience of learning WebGL up until she wrote those posts were like, the, you know, that thing where it's like how to draw an owl, draw three circles, draw the rest of the fucking owl. Like, I felt like that every time I read one of those posts. It was like always how to make this box that was rotating, that was green.
Yeah, with and, the fragment shader, yeah.
And then it's like, but also here's these examples of like faces that are melting. And I'm like, wait, how did you do that though? So I think she kind of breaks down all of the, every little bit of it so that you're not feeling like, okay, I can make the same box that everybody made.
There is kind of a challenge to making materials for people who are at the middle stage of something. You know, you don't have someone that's an absolute beginner, you know, that doesn't need to be told what a variable is or whatever, but they're not a expert in something. And I do notice a lot of the time that the area that's missing is that middle stage, not the the fully drawn owl and not the little oval at the beginning, but the, you know, I don't know, putting the feathers on the thing.
I think I come across that a lot when I'm trying to teach things like Vue or trying to teach things like Green Sock. Well, sometimes in workshops and stuff, I have a variety of skill levels, like anywhere from people who have just coded some CSS animations to people who are like hardcore JavaScript developers and trying to, you know, explain these, you know, techniques in a way that like pretty much anyone can understand and pick up. But like, yeah, I think that's the way, like kind of the hardest part, because you can, as an educator, you can fatigue yourself on the stuff that people don't need to know. Like, you know, that they could not need to, but the things that, you know, maybe they could find elsewhere, or like that's just the background or prereq kind of stuff. So, you know, you start explaining what a variable is, and by the time you get to, like, the part where you're actually explaining, like, a Vue mix-in, you're like, oh, now I'm tired. I think the thing that I've started to do is just, like, break off tinier little chunks to explain instead of trying to explain the universe. Of course, the book is, like, trying to explain the universe, but that makes a little bit more sense for a book.
Well, sure, yeah. I mean, that's you got a lot more space to fill in a book.
you know that you have their attention-ish, and if they don't like it, they can just flip to the next section or something, you know. So that seems okay. But yeah, it is tough. I kind of admire like Chris Coyer and his ability to say things so simply. Like, he conveys a lot of complex detail in the most simple sentence. I don't know how to do that, but that's something I'm always like kind of striving for.
He really does have a gift for that. Absolutely.
Yeah. That part is a big challenge for sure.
This episode of CodePen Radio is brought to you by, and this is so awesome, MetaFizzy. That's MetaFizzy, MetaFizzy.co, and you might as well go to /CodePenRadio to get 15% off the licenses. MetaFizzy makes powerful, easy-to-use UI libraries that I couldn't possibly endorse more. Don't waste your time reinventing the wheel when MetaFizzy has you covered with things like Isotope, which is a UI library for filtering and sorting lists. That's just couldn't be more beautiful. Flickity for responsive touch-enabled carousels, which also just best of breed. You know, there's no dependencies with these libraries either. They, you know, they can work with anything. They have beautiful APIs. So much control over all their features, which is great. There's an infinite scroll library for automatically adding pages. They're known, you know, MetaFizzy libraries are known for how good the API and documentation is and how easy to use and all the different ways that you can use it. You know, you're listening to CodePen Radio. You obviously are familiar with CodePen. MetaFizzy has demos with pens for every feature, you know, to teach you and learn how to use precisely control all the UX for all these different libraries. Who uses it? I don't know. Little sites like the New York Times, Engadget, Whole Foods, NASA. You'll be in good company using these widgets. I like their slogan, you make the stuff that matters. Let MetaFizzy handle the widgets. Again, that's metafizzy.co/CodePenRadio, 15% off all of them.
So do you use CodePen in in-person workshops when you're showing people demonstrations of these things?
If the answer to that was no, it would have been like, oh, okay.
Oh, I would have just asked Chris Ennis to cut this whole part out if that happened.
By the way, there's a part where she rambles about Keynote. Just take that part out. No, I actually make HTML decks so that I can embed code pens right inside the decks so that my students can go in and just fork the decks as they need to and make collections for them. So I usually make collections of like hundreds, actually, of pens, like different types of collections too. Like one is about SVG and GreenSock, another one is React, another one is like SVG resources for like this is how path data works and stuff. I would say probably all of the SVG and GSAP ones are mine, but like the SVG resources is like all over the place. It's like Anthony Dugois and Anna Tudor and like all sorts of people who make really good explanatory material. And Amelia, of course. I don't know why I didn't say Amelia.
The three of them are both, all three of them are just so amazing. The things that they do are just mind-blowing. And Amelia's explanations are so solid.
Yeah, she's incredible. She's like, she like pushes the whole web forward by herself. She's like lifting part of the web. And
she really is. I just appreciate that so much. One thing that is just tremendous about her work is just the clarity. It is uncluttered and clear, and I just love that.
Yeah, and she's really done her homework. Like, she always has tried it on every browser, and she knows every edge case, and she knows, like, all the inconsistencies. I just really appreciate all of the, you know, if I ever get stuck on SVG, I'm like, Amelia!
She wrote a great post a couple months back too on CodePen, which I was just so pleased to see. You know, it was a very personal post about, you know, working in open source, and I just really appreciated it. It was great to see somebody speak honestly about that, because I think that a lot of people kind of try to tamp that down, and it was really great to see that.
Yeah, the me and SVG post, is that the one?
Mm-hmm. You're talking about?
Yeah, that was a like one of the best posts I've ever read on anywhere, actually.
Yeah. I mean, to have it on CodePen really meant a lot to us. We were all just like, wow, this is such a great post. And it was so nice to have it as part of the CodePen roster, you know?
Yeah, totally. And Rachel Smith had kind of written that that post many years ago about like, I got on CodePen, you'll never guess what happened next. And it was kind of about how her career had gone so much further because she was doing stuff on CodePen. And those two posts kind of seemed similar to me in a way, because they were about open source and the, you know, the benefits and pitfalls and like the things behind the scenes that you don't see, because everybody uses open source, but not everybody knows what like goes into it. So those were really awesome.
Definitely. Yeah, I'm very, very happy about both of them being on here. And of course, the posts that you share and all of your pens are also just adding to that canon of just like extremely useful and inspirational work. Last week, we talked to Nat Cooper from the Creative Coding Challenge, and she told us that you are a huge inspiration for her. And so that's
hugely inspired by her too. So that's great. It's going in like a circle.
Yeah. That's the really nice thing about the community that's growing, is that people are kind of learning from each other at different levels. You know, people who have long experience and, you know, deep knowledge of the field are being inspired by people who are coming in and just trying things out. And it's super exciting for all of us to see.
Yeah, that stuff is great. She actually came to a web animation workshops in New York, our first one. And so I would like give people assignments. I'd be like, okay, your next exercise is to take an SVG and, you know, animate one value, except for Nat, who has to do something much more ambitious than that, because I know you're capable of it. It's like, yeah, I have to like, you know, grade on a curve for her or something. Like animating one element in SVG for Nat is like, yeah, I could do that with my toe.
Yeah, they had, did you see the terrarium that was recently done? Oh, that's going in the Spark, spoiler alert. Although, actually, by the time this goes out, that Spark will be out. But yeah, but that is that's such a cool one. I mean, I really enjoyed that challenge.
Yeah, I think she kind of, you know, we used to have those creative coding weekends. That was like a thing that happened. What, Tim, was it like 2 years ago or?
Yeah, maybe even longer.
I think, yeah, it was like, you know, nerds would get together and we'd like assign ourselves a challenge and we'd like all vote on it. And then, you know, it would be like pastel dots weekend. And or like my favorite one was Space Cows Weekend. That was awesome.
Yeah, I think Tiffany was the big champion of those.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tiffany did a great job with those. And I think Anna Tudor like helped with proliferating that and stuff too.
Yeah, fun fact there, Tiffany and Anna are the two most popular people on CodePen.
Yeah, they're
like by the numbers.
Oh, in terms of followers and stuff?
Yeah, followers and, oh, maybe like hearts.
I think it was hearts. Yeah. We got some
hot stats.
Hot stats lately, exactly. Yeah, we dug in a little bit and we found out who was on top in the likes game. And, yep.
That makes a lot of sense to me. They're like really, well, you know, they're like both really prolific and make like really good resources, I feel like, for everybody. But yeah, we used to do these like creative coding weekends and stuff. And it seems like Nat like kind of restarted that idea. And you know, has a little, like a community of people who they have like a theme, like sugar or something. And then they, you know, make stuff. And
it's been really 2017.
Exactly. It's been fun to see everybody set each other challenges and things like that. It's really exciting.
I'm glad it's not me. My challenges would be horrific.
I don't know.
I like your pens, Tim. I like that. Especially when you try to destroy things. That
It's most of the time. Now I start making something and then see something that needs to be done in CodePen, and then it is a foxhole that can't be caught.
You're like in the Matrix, basically.
Yeah. It's like, oh, God. I need to add this prettification library so I can prettify my code that's about prettification.
And then he writes a post about the prettification library, and then I prettify the post, and then we post the post.
Yeah, exactly.
So, this is the most recursive design pattern I've ever heard of.
there's a lot of prettification going on.
That's awesome.
So Sarah, before we let you go, where can people find you and what's coming up next for you?
Oh, they can find me on CodePen. That's probably the place that I'm most active, or Twitter at Sarah Edo. I am speaking at a lot of events this year. So I have a few coming up in like Poland and India and, you know, all sorts of places. So, yeah, you can probably go to my site and see if one of them is near you. But, yeah, mostly just, like, hang out on CodePen, say hello on the comments. I love, like, talking to people and meeting people or seeing what people are doing. So, yeah.
Awesome.
That is awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming on. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Bye, everyone.
Ciao.
6, 1, 3, 2, 9, 7, 1, 3, 2, 9, 7, 6, 0, 3, 1, 8.